Well, good morning. Good to see everyone. I'm seeing a lot more of you here, not only teaching Sunday school, but had to bring the message Wednesday night, and I'm going to have to bring the message this morning. Brother Parsons called me and said he wasn't going to make it in time, so I warned y'all when you brought him and his pastor that I'd still be hanging around. So that's what I'm doing, still hanging around, amen. All right, 1 John, we got into chapter 4 and we haven't gotten very far. We got off on a subject. I'm going to stay on that subject a little bit this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. That means there's more than one after us, amen. But try the spirits, whether they be of God or of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. That tells you behind the false prophets is a false spirit, a bad spirit, evil spirit. We read on down through a number of verses, and so our subject, though, here is just exactly what it says. We're told to test the spirits. Never has that been any more important, I believe, than it is today. Amen. And the truth is, Jesus is the test. If you want to find out about somebody, you bring up the name of Jesus. You want to find out about politics or systems or all the things you could describe, when you bring the name of Jesus in it, you'll soon find out which side folks are on. It's an amazing thing. I know we're moving now toward Christmas season, and I can hardly believe it's that time of year again, but they love to celebrate Christmas without Christ, don't they? And that's what you see in the news, what you'll see on TV, the shows. Do you know a lot of folks put up beautiful decorations outside their houses? And that's okay. I love to look at the pretty lights. But they, if you really talk to them, they don't know why or what it's about. They miss Jesus. That's too bad, isn't it? And yet that is the case. And testing the spirits. An evil spirit in a person, or is leading a person, or a person is following, will let you know very quickly when you bring up the name of Jesus that they don't like that. And you've heard me say this, and some of you have seen this. I remember the girl that the evil spirits was being cast out of here a number of years ago. We had a situation, had it on video. And when the preacher would bring up the name of Jesus, those evil demon spirits with men's voices coming out of a little old teenage girl would scream and holler. They hated Jesus. They still hate him. We turned in some verses for you last week. I'm going to get back on the subject. Some of you think I forget where I left off, and sometime I might, and sometime I don't. And I remember I ended up last week going to referencing an Old Testament story that I'm going to go to this morning that gives us a little insight of what's going on behind the scenes. We went to Ephesians 6 where we're told we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. It's a struggle. And we as God's people make this mistake. We think the devil and demons are only in the dirty places, the low places. No, they're in the high places. They're in the rich places. They're in the powerful places. They're where they can do the most good for their side, so to speak, or for the Antichrist kingdom they're building. And that's what we have in our story that I want you to reference. And I've got mixed emotions about telling you where to go, because if you turn over and start reading, you won't listen to me. And you know I'm more important than what the Bible says, right? All right, I'm playing with you some now. But don't read it while I'm talking. Go home and read it instead of watching the TV. Amen. The story I referenced was in 1 Kings chapter 22. It was a high-level meeting between rulers of nations. Jehoshaphat was the good king. He was the king over Judah. Ahab was the evil king that was married to Jezebel. He was the king over Israel. Now, it was one nation but divided at that time, and you see that in the scriptures. Sometimes even war took place between Judah and Israel. But Syria was always the arch enemy in the Old Testament of the Jews. And it is believed even the Antichrist himself may yet come out of Syria, because a synonym in the Old Testament for the Antichrist is Assyrian. And we won't get off into that. That sidetracked me again. But what I want you to get out of the story, and I already see some of you trying to read it. I'll put a curse on you in a minute. You better watch out. Listen, just get the big picture. If you'll get the big picture, that there was a high-level meeting between the kings. Jehoshaphat, who believed in the Lord and was a good king, and you got some good stories about Jehoshaphat being healed and so forth, the good blessings there. But Jehoshaphat did what a lot of Christians do that was wrong. He yoked up with Ahab, who was bad. Ahab, who worshiped Jezebel's gods, the prophets of Baal. And so Jehoshaphat's in a high-level meeting, a fellowship time, a ceremony, a royal get-together with Ahab. And Ahab says, don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead is ours and we need to take it back? And he's talking about a territory and a city there that Syria had control of. And so he said, it's ours. We ought to take it back. And what he's really saying is to good King Jehoshaphat, unite with me and let's take this territory back that belongs to Israel. And Jehoshaphat says, okay, my men will be your men. My horses will be your horses. And but before we go to battle, Jehoshaphat, the good king, said, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here that we can ask about that? Well, you know what? Ahab said, oh, yeah. And he called in about 400 prophets of Baal. And every one of them lied and pretended to be something. And they said, oh, yeah, go to war. You'll win. But Jehoshaphat says, but isn't there a prophet of the Lord here also? The real Lord? And Ahab says, well, there is one. His name is Micaiah, but I don't like him. He don't speak good about me. And Jehoshaphat says, don't let the king say so. Let's call him in. So they send for Micaiah, but they coach Micaiah before he gets there. Sort of like stay on the teleprompter. You know what I'm saying? Stay on what's scripted. Isn't it amazing when President Biden slips off of script? Oh, yeah. He even said the pandemic was over, and that blew their minds. That wasn't on the teleprompter. Thank God he slipped. Maybe God was in that just a little bit. Whole pandemic thing. But anyway, Jehoshaphat says, I want to hear from the Lord. So they call Micaiah in to satisfy the good king, Jehoshaphat. But they coach him. Now, this is what the prophets of Baal have said. You don't disagree with us. And Micaiah, who was true to the Lord, says, depending on what the Lord says to me, that's what I'll speak. He comes in at first and he just kind of mocks Ahab. He said, oh, yeah, what have they told you? Go ahead. But the king knew he was being mocked. So he said, I adjure you, tell me the truth. And Micaiah said, okay. And he gave it to him straight. You're not going to make it. You go into war, you're going to lose. Well, you know what the king did? He threw him in jail. The FBI knocked on his door early in the morning and picked him up and took him away and put him in jail. Amen? Bring it up. It's not so far-fetched from where we're living right now. So anyway, that's what happened. And so, you know, the evil king, Ahab, he had a plan to get by God's will. Micaiah told him, you're not going to make it. God said, you're not going to return. You see, Ahab already had a death sentence on his head, remember? Remember how he'd stolen the vineyard of Naboth and had Naboth and his sons killed? Remember that? And Elijah the prophet had come to him and said, your turn's coming, and the dogs are going to lick your blood. So he had a death sentence on his head. But he said, I know what I'll do. I'll disguise myself. So he did. He disguised himself and went into battle. But the king of Syria had already told his troops, don't fight with anybody else except the king of Israel, Ahab. So he's in disguise, but Jehoshaphat goes in as a king would in his chariot, the royal chariot. And so the Syrian soldiers begin to come after him thinking he's Ahab. And he begins to cry out and they discover he's not Ahab. But where is Ahab? He's disguised. They can't pick him out. He's in the battle. He's in his chariot, but he's not recognized as the king. He looks just as common as anybody else. The Bible says there was a bowman. That means a guy pulling an arrow back in a bow, long bow, old-fashioned bow. And he pulled the arrow back, the scripture says, at a venture. You know what that meant? He just pulled it up, aimed at the sky. What goes up comes down. And he let the arrow fly, just the Bible says, at an adventure. He didn't know where it was going to hit. He wasn't aiming at nobody, hoping it was going to hit an enemy. He was shooting toward the enemy. Well, it did come down, and it went to where God sent it. He went to Ahab, the king that was in disguise. Not only did it hit him in a crevice in his armor. Not a place it bounced off, but a place it entered. And ultimately, Ahab bled to death. They did get him back to the city. And his chariot was full of blood. He was bleeding to death. And the chariot driver stopped at the same location to Naboth's vineyard, where he'd had Naboth and his son stoned, and washed the blood out of the chariot. And the old mangy dogs came up and licked the blood, just like the prophet Elijah had said. Elijah's dead, but the prophecy wasn't dead. It was fulfilled. Now I come back. Here's a meeting, high-level meeting between these kings, planning war. That would be equivalent to a UN meeting today, United Nations meeting today. Now where's the devil? He's in those meetings. He was in the meeting there with Ahab. He was part of the false prophets, the lying spirits to Ahab. Where's he at today? He's in the high circles of nations as they meet and plan. And all that plan that's going on today on planet Earth is a fight between God and the devil trying to set up his kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom that we've been talking so much about. So there's a warfare in what we call the heavens or the space, between the devils trying to influence the leaders of this world, and boy, they are doing a job. I will kind of park off of that just a little bit to say this. We need to understand that's the plan of Satan today. And what we're seeing today, it'll shed a lot of light on it if you'll understand that the Antichrist kingdom is being put together, the demons, the devils, are working to bring all that in. Now, I'm having to be vague with this. I'd like to actually show it sometime. Might do so in Sunday school. Many of y'all know Brother Chris Gillum. Brother Chris works with us in our school and all, and good Christian man. And Brother Gillum showed me on his phone, and then we went in and got it on a bigger screen. And some of you have probably seen this, and some of you maybe could pull it up. I may get Brother Jeremiah Morgan to pull it up for us. It is amazing to me how the devil is in our face with everything. It's not what used to be secret, he's wide open with now. What used to be secret is being advocated for us to accept it today as being frontline that the devil wants done. Who in the world would have ever believed they'd be mutilating our kids to change boys and girls' gender? Who in the world could have ever believed the so-called homosexual agenda that has moved into first place in America? Did you see in the news, and I think may have already said this to you, see in the news where the governor in California says if you're transsexual, and they claim it's about 70 to 90 different labels that you can be of a homosexual. Transgender is what I'm trying to say. That many different types of transgender. But if you'll come out there, move to California, they'll give you $1,200 a month. Now, with the prices out there, that probably means you can get the best corner of the street to sleep on. But anyway, can you believe that if you're transgender, come, we want you. Well, if that'll pull them out of Florida, I'm all for it. Amen. But we move to a crazy, crazy time where sin must be accepted. And you're the bad guy if you do not accept it. Not only that, you may not take no action against it, but if they suspect you're thinking against it, you can get in trouble today for what you think. America has changed, folks. And oh, I'd love to see it change back, but I think only the Lord Jesus can do that. That can he can change it back. What I started to tell you, though, it was Brother Gillum showed me this thing. Many of you know Queen Elizabeth died here not too long ago. And she was a good queen as a whole. And of course, Prince Charles is now King Charles. And there's a lot of Bible students, and some of you know what I'm talking about. A lot of Bible students for years now have believed that when Prince Charles became King Charles, that he'd have a part in the end time structure, which you and I know has to do with the Antichrist kingdom. That structure can be identified in your Bible very clearly. I talked through the book of Revelation, and I'm hoping you've got some of this already. But if you study the book of Daniel, you'll study about 10 kings. If you study the book of Revelation, chapter 17, you'll study about 10 kings. Those 10 kings will serve under the woman that rides the beast in Revelation 17. Remember? All right, the woman on the beast. Now, we identified a lot of that and talked about a lot of the details about the woman on the beast. The beast, of course, is the government. We discovered by study, and I'm abbreviating all this to move on. We looked up all the scripture. You'd be here a lot longer than you'd want, I think. But in studying the book of Daniel, we find out that these kings, and you remember the image, the head of gold all the way, the statue of the nations from the head of gold all the way down through the legs of iron to the feet of iron and the toes of iron and clay, remember, and how they don't mix together. Remember? You do remember that? You've seen a picture of the image in Daniel and so forth. If you want to get Larkin's books, he's got some great drawings on that. But anyway, the toes made of iron and clay do not mix. When you study the book of Daniel, you find out those 10 kings are more than just men. Sometimes there's just a few words in Scripture that we'll read over and not get them. But it says in the book of Daniel that these 10 kings, their seed, their DNA, their seed cannot mix with the seed of men. There's a little something supernatural about the 10 kings that rule under the woman that rides the beast. Now, we're talking to you about the Antichrist kingdom when it comes to full power for a short period of time. The woman on the beast. Now, these 10 kings finally turn against her and devour her flesh. But that beast they're riding is a bull. It is the bull of Moloch that you read about, that the Israelites got in trouble from worshiping Moloch through the Old Testament. Remember that? All right. Some of you remember and some of you don't. The false gods. What did the children of Israel, when they come out of Israel and Moses was up on the mount too long and they build them something to worship. What did they build? A golden calf. A bullock. That's the religion. You know, the prophets of Baal, there's not a lot of difference in the word Baal and bull, is there? Do you understand the connection there? Going all the way back, Babylon and Nimrod and all that, you follow. That religion has never died. That's why I'm suspicious of religions that dress their priest in long black robes, because that's what the Baal priest dressed like. Oh, I heard some clicking going on there. You better watch out. That religion is still around, various degrees of it mixed in. And it will come to fruition in the book of Revelation, just like we discovered in chapter 17. Now, in chapter 17, you find the woman in Revelation riding on the bull. And the bull is the beast of government. 10 kings ruling under that government, supernatural somewhat. Part men, part devils, whatever they are. Their seed won't mix with the seed of men. They're different. That is the end time thing. Hey, by the way, you might say they're transgendered. I'm fooling around with you now. We're moving into some stuff, folks, that the Bible is way ahead on for a long time. It's been written in the Word of God that we're seeing it happen today. I personally may be wrong. I'm giving Mickey Carter first verse here. But Mickey Carter first verse, chapter 2, I believe the Antichrist will be a homosexual. Because I read the book of Daniel, because he has no desire for women. All right, help yourself. I got astray there. You're going to find a lot of what is going on today fitting right in to this end time plan of the devil. Now, Chris showed me this. Showed me this video. It was something that was on the news. It didn't make all that much news in probably on our channels in America. But they were having a meeting, kicking off the big ceremony. I'm not going to say the Olympic Games, but something very similar, the Commonwealth Ceremony. Called the Commonwealth Ceremony. And they had a stadium bigger than biggest football field. And the technology they demonstrated was really something. They almost pictured the rapture, showed it instead of people going up, so to speak, but they showed houses going up and floating. Big stand of people and TVs and everything else showing it. But this is the program. Let's say it was a football field, and they put this program on it. I think it was a little bigger than the football field. I think the devil don't like what I'm fixing to tell on him here. Anyway, big crowd watching. Prince Charles is in master of ceremonies, standing there on the high platform, and all the dignitaries around, meeting of leaders. And I'm just going to give you the tip of the iceberg here and hope somebody will look it up for yourselves. But on the video, it shows this bull, mechanical bull, big. Oh, I don't even think it would hardly fit in. It'd bump the ceiling here. It's that big. Well done. Great piece of work with a diesel machinery under it with wheels on it to make it move. So from that end of the ball field, it begins to come out onto the field. The program starts off with like a star or a comet above. That comet comes down, or that star, and it explodes. That is Lucifer. He is the light bearer. So it explodes up here, and different pieces of it, shreds of it, falls all over the ground. And these women are chained to the bull, chains coming out of his nose to 50 women probably in white robes out on the field, like they're pulling the bull or chained by the bull, or the picture is they are enslaved, they're in chains. The picture is this light explodes in the sky, the pieces of it fall down. These women grab these pieces of light, little torches of light. And one woman in particular grabs the big piece, and she goes up to the bull and touches the ring in his nose. She winds up riding him on his back, just like the book of Revelation 17. The devil's in our face showing what he's going to do. He put a act on, a play, if you please, a great technological ability now to do these things. And then it shows the women being freed from the chains. See, the feminine movement is used of the Antichrist kingdom. And ladies, it is saying you can be free now to kill your babies. You can be free now to do, you are no longer enslaved by the system. The chains are broken. And this wonderful kingdom represented by the bull with the woman riding on its back is giving you freedom. So what is all that? Highest level, we're talking about the King of England as the master of ceremonies of the program. We're talking about the elite of Europe, representatives of the nations, gathered in for this, and the word tells you the word ceremony of the Commonwealth. It is showing you what is planned, biblically prophesied, coming together, and it's so acceptable to the world. It is amazing to see how bold and plain that thing is. We are seeing the war between God and the devil come to a head. You see, the whole Bible is about who's going to get the kingdom. You see, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had a kingdom until they fell into sin. Satan has taken that kingdom over. That's why he is the God of this world. That's what the Bible calls him, God of this world. That's why this world's in the mess that it's in, and that's why there's a warfare. Now, when the rapture takes place, the resistance that you and I represent, that believe the Bible, we're going to be out for a little bit, and the Antichrist kingdom will move in, and will only be defeated in Revelation 19 when Jesus comes back with the armies of heaven and confronts the Antichrist kingdom, Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. We're closer than you think. I really believe the only thing holding back, I think everything's in place. The propaganda is there. The structures are there. The only thing holding back the Antichrist kingdom is the believers that are still here that have got to be caught out at the rapture. If that be the case, be aware of it. Don't be seduced by it. Don't accept it. We still know what's right and wrong. And if you're saved, you have a Bible to tell you what's right and wrong. And the fact the Bible predicts this stuff is amazing ahead of times. Now, the story in 1 Kings 22, you thought I forgot about it, didn't you? But I didn't. Micaiah came up representing the prophet of the Lord. The prophets of Baal had told Ahab, you'll win. Go ahead and fight. Micaiah said, you won't. See the two sides there. You won't. So they threw Micaiah into the jail. And yet what he said came true. Now here's the way Micaiah explained it to King Ahab. I hope I'm just telling you enough of the story you might actually read it. Read it for yourself. You know what Micaiah, when Ahab said, I adjure you to tell me the truth, don't mock me anymore. So Micaiah said, okay. And then he tells like it was a vision or a dream that he had. He said, the spirit meeting was going on. And the Lord said, who will go forth and convince Ahab to go to war that he might be destroyed? And Micaiah said, a lying spirit come up and said, I will do it. Well, that's about all Ahab wanted to hear. So he throws Micaiah in jail. Years ago, taking it from this story of Micaiah and Ahab and the meeting of the lions, the evil spirits and the lion spirit coming up to convince Ahab. A preacher said he might have been reading that. He didn't know, but he had a dream. He told this in a sermon. He said, I had a dream. And I was down, as it were, in the pit of hell and saw a meeting of Satan with all of his devils, demons. He said, Satan himself said, who will go up to earth and convince people not to be saved? One lying spirit spoke up and he said, well, I'll go up there and tell them that Jesus was not the Son of God. Satan said that won't work because of the resurrection. He had to be God. They know that. So that lie won't work. Another spirit came up and I'll tell them that they can just be good enough and earn their way to go to heaven. And Satan said that won't work either because man knows he's not good. In his heart, he knows he's not good. Another one spoke up and he said, I'll go up there and I'll tell them that there is no heaven and no hell. Satan said that won't work. Man in his heart knows better than that. Said they won't believe that lie. Said that won't keep them lost. And another one said, well, I'll go up there and tell them the Bible's not true. And Satan said, that's not going to work. The Bible's proven itself too many times. It just won't work. Finally, a big spirit spoke up and said, I've got the answer to keep them lost. Satan says, what is it? He said, oh, I've got a plan. It'll never fail. He said, what is it? He said, I'll go up there and I'll tell them the Bible is true. Heaven and hell is real. That a man can't be good enough on his own. I'll tell him Jesus is the Son of God. That he did rise from the dead. And I'll tell him they need to be saved. But he said, I'll also tell him, put it off. You got plenty of time. Procrastinate. Put it off. Satan said, that'll work. And that's what's been going on ever since. And that was a preacher's dream. It was based on the story I told you out of 1 Kings 22, where Micah said the lion spirit has come to Ahab. The sad truth is today, that story hits home. Very few people would admit, most people will admit they're not good enough to go to heaven if they really think about it. They recognize the Bible is truth, but the biggest thing that sends men to hell is putting off being saved. And if you're listening in radio land right now, you may be one of those people. You could be in this room today. I don't know. And you plan to do it. Oh, I'll wait till Christmas to do it. How many Christmases did you promise? I'll wait to Easter. How many Easters did you promise? You've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Satan's plan is working. Working big. And his kingdom is building. And it's even, I mean, you talk about the money. The money, I told you about that scene. The money it costs just to build that bull and to have all the actors and then to do the things they did in the air with cables and everything else they did. It was something to see. I hope you'll look it up. I'll get somebody to look it up for you. I'm technologically retarded. I can't do it. But there's other folks that can. And I'll tell you, when I saw it, I knew what I was looking at. I knew I was looking at the scripture in detail being pictured for us. And folks, we are a lot closer to Jesus coming than you may think. I really fear today that even God's best sometime that we kind of are a little bit asleep. Say, well, what could I do? You can't stop it. You can pray for the right over the wrong, but what you can do is tell somebody else about Jesus. And that's the biggest thing you can do. And tell them with an urgency. They may have been procrastinating all their life. Well, I'll wait to Easter. I'll wait to Christmas. I'll wait. I know I got to get saved, but not right now. That's the devil's plan. All right. I got off on the subject, but I found it right here in the first few verses, so I'm not too far off. All right. Got a few minutes here, and we'll have the preaching service start.